That's
true. Okay, we're going to do the second part of the section of the introduction to Az Yashir of Atahu Hashem Elokim. There's no better title for that section, just the opening words of Atahu Hashem Elokim. So last week we spoke about how it begins, the process of describing Brias Olam, Hashem is Melech Olam. And we're going to tell in very short psukim, these psukim from Nehemiah, we're going to tell the story of how Hashem, who's Melech Olam, became Melech Yisrael and became interested in the Jewish people. So we're going to talk about how that transferred from the beginning of Avram's life, and that's going to be part two this week. And then Emir Hashem, next week, we'll conclude the section of Nehemiah, how it relates to Shir HaSayyah. We're also going to also discuss this week how there is a printing error in all of your siddurim. Okay? Okay, let's find out. With that introduction, let's go. Atahu Hashem Elokim. As we explained, these psukim from Nehemiah are connected to the minhag of saying Shir HaSayyah. This is an introduction to Az Yashir, and it's a summary of the events in the beginning of time and through the Avos, leading to the revelation of Malchus Hashem with the drowning of the Mitzrim in the sea. That's pretty much what that section describes in davening. And then the follow-up will be the singing of Shir HaSayyam, which is Az Yashir. That's what this is what this concluding part of Psukim Zimra is doing. The Sefer Nehemiah continues and explains that the events leading towards Matan Torah and the miracles of the Midbar, and that includes entering Eretz Yisrael, the defeat of our enemies until the days of Ezra. But what's most critical for us right now is the section where our davening stops. And it concludes in Sefer Ezra, V'yasod Fei, Mishach, Mislosko, Evimayim, Azim. And that's the end of the section of Sefer Nehemiah that is the section we're discussing. The Magen Avraham, in Siman Nun Aleph, cites the Arizal, who taught, B'yivarech David Yamod, Ad Shiyomer Atahu Hashem Ha'elokim, B'yichavein Rosh Tevos, Aleph Hed Yud Hei, which is the name of Hashem, Ekyeh, B'achakach Yeshiv, and then sit down. This is the origin of the minhag to stand by Yivarech David. Because the whole purpose of standing, says the Arizal, is because when you say the words Atahu Hashem Ha'elokim, Aleph Hey, and Hashem is Yud Hey Vav Hey, and then Hey again, that is the Rosh Tevos of one of Hashem's names, Aleph Hey Yud Hey, and we stand out of kavod, out of honor, and that's why we stand. Now the Arizal says, after you say Atahu Hashem Ha'elokim, you should sit. But I would imagine that nobody does that. If you stand for Yivarech David, you probably remain standing until Yishtabach. Regardless, what we see from the Arizal is that the section of Atahu Hashem Levadach is related to Yivarech David, even though they come from different sections of Tanakh. He links them together. They're some sort of thematic connection. The Mishnah Berurah quotes that Arizal as the halacha, as the minhag, and that is the minhag of most people to stand by Yivarech David till the end. Since we're already standing, and we're going to have to stand up again for Yishtabach anyway, so the meaning just became that we just stand for the rest of Az Yashir. That's why we stand. There is another thing that's cited by the Mishnah there as well. The Mishnah says there's a minhag to give tzedakah at that point in davening. Generally in a shul by minyan, you'll find many men walking over to the tzedakah box to give tzedakah at that point towards the end of Psukah Zimra. This led to a very novel and somewhat well-known idea from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky writes in the Emes Yaakov that he thinks this is actually where the origin of standing for Yivarech David comes from. Why? Because the Mishnah says in Maseches Bikurim that when the Jews would bring their first fruits to Yerushalayim every year to fulfill the mitzvah of Bikurim, all the Jews of Yerushalayim would come out and stand in their honor. So the Bartanura, the one that the wine is named after, Rav Avraham Bartanura. So he was a Rav in Italy. He was an Italian Rav. And he writes in his commentary on the Mishnah is one of the most important commentaries on the Mishnah. So the Bartanura says, why were they standing? Because there's a mitzvah to stand for someone who's going to do a mitzvah and to honor them by standing. There's such an idea, he says. He says, that's why we stand when we escort the body out of a levaya, the nifter out of a funeral. Well, who are we standing for? The body's dead. He doesn't have any. The people who are going to fulfill the mitzvah of kvura. We're not standing for the nifter. It's just a corpse. There's no reason. There's no kavod deserving of that. but we stand in honor of the people who are going to do the mitzvah. And he says that's also why we stand when we bring a baby into the room for a bris milah. We're standing in honor of a baby. The kid's 8 days old. He hasn't done anything. What does he deserve my kavod for? No, we're standing in honor of the people who are going to perform the mitzvah of bris milah. So says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, why do we stand by Vayivarach Dov Naz Yashir? Because people are walking to do what? To give tzedakah. So we stand in honor of the people going to give tzedakah, because we stand in honor of people who are going to do mitzvos. So those are two reasons why people stand at this point in davening. Let's come back to the text, and let's jump into understanding what's going on here. Atah Hashem Elokim, Asher Bacharta BeAvraham. Now, the simple understanding of the pasuk, it's describing the unfolding events of HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with everything in it, and he chose Avram, and he made a covenant, he made a deal, a promise with him to give his children Eretz Yisrael, right? Atah Hashem Elokim Asher Bacharta BeAvraham, that you chose Avram Avinu. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw Avram's children suffering in Mitzrayim, so he made his name known throughout the world by giving the 10 plagues and splitting the sea, and that would lead to the revelation, meaning through Avram Avinu and his children, that would lead to the revelation of Hashem's glory and honor and name being known throughout the world, because it was because of Avram's children, us, that we left Egypt. The Psukim are also a reference to the concept that the purpose of creation is for the tzaddikim, the avos, and Am Yisrael. Look at this medrash in the beginning of Bereishis Rabba. Okay, the Bereishis Rabba says, "Amar Yeshua ben Karcha, behi baram." Right, the pasuk says, "This is the story of the creation of the world, behi baram, when it was created." What are the same letters behi baram? Avram. It's the same letters as Avram. Bizchuso shel Avram, meaning the world was created in the merit of Avram Avinu. Rabbi Isaiah Amar al Hadda de Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. He added our pasuk in Nehemiah. Atah Hashem levadecha, atah asisa. You are the one God and you made the world. V'chol asher behem, v'chol ha'onkim hazeh b'shvil ma. What was all this effort for? What was all this for? B'shvil, because it says, Atah Hashem elokim asher bacharta b'Avram. So we see from our psukim, says the Medrash, Hashem made the whole world and all the galaxies and all the universes and the black holes and the stars were such a small speck in the infinite, you know, breadth of the entire universe. And yet he did all of this for who? Avram and his children. That's it. He did all of this for us. That's what we're saying over here. The Malbim and those psukim in Nehemiah explain similarly. He understands this is a description of how Hashem became known in the world. Look at the words in the davening. Ata asis es ha-shamayim, you created the heavens, and that refers to Hashem, us knowing Hashem through Brias Ha'olam. We see, you know, the Grand Canyon, and we see an amazing waterfall, and we see something inspiring in nature. I think there's a solar eclipse coming up in April. That'll be also, we'll see something amazing. So we see Hashem in the Koach HaBriya. That's one way we see Hashem. Where's the other place we see Hashem? V'ata mechaye es kulam. Through sustaining the Briya. We see Hashem has the sun rising in the morning, and Hashem gives us oxygen, and he gives us food, and he gives us health. And Hashem sustains creation. That's the other place where we see Hashem in our lives. And finally, Atahu Hashem Elokim Asher Bacharta BeAvram. We see Hashem through the miracles that he does for his tzaddikim and how he supports the Jewish people. The miracle of the Jewish people, that we've gone through gullus after gullus after gullus, the only nation in the world to be kicked out of their land twice and to come back again and to take that land. And he showed us this in Ur Kasdim, where Hashem overrode nature to save who in Ur Kasdim? Avram in the fiery furnace, right? V'sam tishmo Avraham. And Avram would become the father of a nation that would be blessed and worthy of Hashem's blessing. So, says the Malbim, these are the three places where we see Hashem. In the creation of the world, in the running of the world, and through Avram and his children, the Jewish people. Now, what do we see here? Asher bacharta b'Avram, v'yotseisa mi'Ur Kasdim. That he chose Avram, and he brought him out of Ur Kasdim. Now, pay attention to that order. Think about that. We're classically told what happened first. Ur Kasdim came first, where Avram was chosen first?
Was chosen.
Hmm.
He was chosen.
How do we know?
Or chosen. Like Hashem calls him.
Before or after or cast him? Lech lecha is after or cast him. But look what the pasuk says.
He's
in Charan. But look at the pasuk here. The pasuk says, Ashebacharta be'Avram. He first chose Avram, and then v'hotseisim or cast him. What does that mean? Now, the Torah never mentions any of the righteousness of Avram Avinu. This is a classic Chumash question. Not that anybody's given a Chumash paper on this topic, but we never are introduced to Avram Avinu, right? We're kind of dropped. Avram Avinu is kind of like dropped in the middle of the story, right? We don't have any background. There's no character development. We don't know anything about his parents. All of a sudden, the Torah's like, hey, Avram, why don't you go on a walk to Eretz Yisrael? But there's no context to Avram Avinu beforehand. All we are told is that Avram and his family left Ur Kasdim and they go to Eretz Canaan. That's our entire introduction to the most important person in our history, maybe outside of Moshe Rabbeinu. Then later on, when Hashem creates the Bris Bein HaBesarim, he actually repeats this again. He says, Ani Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hotzeisicha Mei Ur Kasdim. So obviously Hashem feels that whatever happened in Ur Kasdim was important, right? And Chazal learned from the fact that Hashem wants to go back to talk about Ur Kasdim again, is that Ur Kasdim, something special happened there. What happened there? Well, Ur is the Lashon of fire, light. And Nimrod threw Avram into the Kivshan Eish when he was Moser Nefesh by destroying Avodah Zarah. We know the story of his father's house with the sledgehammers and he put in the guy's arm, right? We know the little story, right? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved him. And this medrash is repeated in many different places. So from the Pshuto Shel Mikra, the simple understanding of our davening and the Sefer Nechemiah, it says that Avram left Ur Kasdim because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Ashebacharta be'Avram, right? Ve'otseisim Ur Kasdim. The Bechira, the choosing Avram Avinu, came before Ur Kasdim. Apparently, this is not the way we've been taught. Because we always think about Avram jumped into the fiery furnace, he was saved, and Hashem was like, oh, Avram, you're my man, we're going to do great things together, let's get going, you're going to Eretz Yisrael. But that's not what happens over here. This, in fact, the way we have here over here in Nehemiah is the way the Ibn Ezra learns the Pesukim. Okay, look at this Ibn Ezra, okay? This is an Ibn Ezra that's in the beginning of Shmos, because in Shmos, the Torah says that how long are B'nai Yisrael in Galus for? Everybody remember? That's how they actually were. But what's the number? 400 and? 30 years. The Torah says, Shloshim v'arba me'oshana. So that leaves everyone to scratch their head. Well, where did that number come from? So let's read the Ibn Ezra together, and we'll see. He says, Rak, cheshbon arba me'os shana, humayom shenolad Yitzhak. He says, the 400 years begin from the birth of Yitzhak Avinu. Ve'ela ha-shloshim shana nosefim. But what's with those 30 years? Right? Where does the Torah get those extra 30 years from? Misparam miyom shiyatza Avraham me'eretz miladaso, mi'or kastim. Uba'al aviv el-charan. The 30 years begin from when Avram left Ur Kasdim, and he left his father. Kasher Kasuv, Vayavo ad Charan, Vayashavu Sham. They came to Charan, they settled there. Va'avram Yashav im Aviv b'Charan Chameshim. He stayed with his father in Charan for 5 years. Ubal Eretz Canaan, V'ben Chamesh v'Shivim. When he came to Canaan, Avram was 75 years old. V'lo Shav el Charan, he never would go back to Charan again. And when Yitzhak Avinu was born, it was 30 years since he left Ur Kasdim. Ki hu ha'ikar, because that's really the main thing. Ki lo nasna eres ha'kna'anim. The land was not given to the Kna'anim. Behinei pasuk that says, Ani Hashem Rishol Tzeisicha mi Ur Kasdim. I'm Hashem, the God who took you out of Ur Kasdim. Davak im kol ha'parsha l'matza l'mala. It's really connecting the above Parshios before, not a discussion right now. B'nei Perush. Umosha b'nei Yisrael asher yashav Mitzrayim. So this is what does the pasuk mean in Shmos? Umosha b'nei Yisrael asher yashav Mitzrayim. The entire time the b'nei Yisrael were in Mitzrayim. Sheyu geirim sham, that they were strangers. Gam of Osema again, and even their forefathers were strangers. How long were the entirety of the Jewish people strangers? Meaning, what does a stranger mean? You're not in your homeland. When was the first time Avram was a stranger? When he left Ur Kasdim, right? Kekasuv kimat v'garim ba. Avram Amar Ger Batosha Aniochem. I'm a stranger here. Shloshim Shana Bar Meoshana Meyom Shiyata Avram Aviyam Eretz Melaratzal. Ah, so says Ibn Ezra, everything, really, the Gullus really begins from when Avram is now in exile from his home, and he has to leave Ur Kasdim. And therefore, the beginning of the 430 years is when Avram was told Lech Lecha to leave Ur Kasdim. This is the Gullus of Bnei Yisrael in a land that was not theirs. And it turns out, according to Ibn Ezra, the Bechira, the choosing of Avram, mentioned in Nehemiah, began with Lech Lecha Me'artzacha, the Asa, God will make you a great nation, and then Avram left Ur Kasdim. So Avram was first told Lech Lecha, and then the events of Ur Kasdim occurred, and then he left. That's how he understands the events going on over here. Okay, should we continue? Sure. That's what the pasuk says. Avram was first communicated by Hashem, you should go, and he left, then he left Ur Kasdim afterwards.
Is that before or after he destroyed the Avodah Zarah?
It seemed probably after. Probably after he destroyed the Avodah Zarah. But he was told to leave while he was in Ur Kasdim. That's the 30 years.
And then he stayed in Haran for 5 years?
That's in order for the math to work out, he has to have a stop somewhere for 5 years in Haran.
I thought that was about
Kiv Shnei Esh. So the Ibn Ezra doesn't say what I'm saying, that Kiv Shnei Esh happened after those, but if you follow the or what Ibn Ezra is saying, Ubeshe Becharta Be'Avram, the Ibn Ezra understands Asher Becharta Be'Avram refers to Lech Lecha, and then the or of the Pasuk is, would say Simir Kastim. They left Ur Kasdim. And
if
they, what?
That's like repetitive. If the Bechor of Avram is telling you to leave Ur Kasdim, then like...
I hear.
Wasn't there a whole thing then, like, why, if they were in Haran, while his father was still alive, why didn't he, like, go with his father?
They're keeping up. Aim is a discussion. Yeah. They're correct. But still doesn't touch on our point exactly. Yeah.
Why would we think that he was chosen after the Mer Kasdim when, like, it says in the Pasuk?
Because we usually don't pay attention to our davening or what it says in Sefer Nechemiah. Usually we're told in school, it's like when Avram was like a little kid, he was wandering around the fires of Nimrod's, you know, furnace, and the, like, it was all cool in there, and he was like having a good time with the Malachim, and then he grew up, and Hashem said, you got to get out of here, and it's just the order is not so clear. That's what we're trying to say. Now, this is a difficult, this is a challenging passage. The goal of these psukim is to tell us what? Like we said before, what's the goal of this whole section? To tell us what? The major events, right? That would lead to the formation of Jewish people and the splitting of the sea. If you had to pick, like, I don't know, top five things that happened in Avram's life that were so impactful in the history of Jewish people, would changing his name be on that list?
No.
Probably not. But for some reason, Ezra Nehemiah feels it's very important to say V'sam Tishma Avraham, that he was turned from Avram to Avram Avinu. So why do the psukim feel they need to relate this change? Now, on a simple level, the psukim are talking about the bechira, the choice of Avram, and it makes sense to relate the moment in which Avram was chosen and given that special status. Let me tell you something on a deeper level, though. The changing of Avram to Avraham was a critical moment in the history of the Jewish people. It's not just a cute thing that he got a letter, hey, and it's Hashem in his name. That's not what the point is. He was Av La'aram beforehand. He was the father of Aram. He was the leader of people, or he was considered an important person in the land of Aram. But when Hashem made a bris with him, and he made a covenant with Avram Avinu, and he became Avraham, something changed. V'lo yikareo reshimcha Avram, v'yashimcha Avram, ki Av Hamon Gayim Nisaticha. I'm going to make you a father of nations. The Tosefta writes in Maseches Brachos, look at this. B'tchila harei ata av l'chol adam. Before you would be a father to any person who you birthed. U'l'besof harei ata av l'chol ha'olam. But now you'd be the father of the whole world. Shnamar, ki av hamon goyim zhatich Avram. You know what's going to come from you? Judaism, Islam, Christianity. You're going to be the father of the most important, significant religions in the world. Everyone's going to go back to Abraham. He became the focal point of the purpose of creation. He became the father to the entire world. So yeah, going from Avram to Avraham is not a small deal. That's a huge deal. He became the most significant person in the history of the world. All future religions and faiths, almost all the major religions and faiths, would stem from him. In fact, what does the pasuk say? Does it say, V'karasa Shema Avraham? What does it say? V'samta Shema Avraham. the changing the name of Avram was a new creation. It's like he was born anew. He became a new person. V'samsa, I placed you, I turned you into a new thing. Look at Rashi in Bereishis. Look what Rashi says. V'hamedrash tsei mitztagnios shalcha. Leave your astrology, Avram. Shereisa b'mazalos incha asid l'hamid bein. According to your astrology, to your mazal, you're never going to have a child. But Avram ein lo ben. Avram, without a hay, cannot have a son. But Avraham yelo ben. Avraham Avinu is going to be the father of nations. He's going to be someone who changes the world. That extra hay was not just, you know, a name change, and now he had to deal with, like, the Social Security office dealing with changing his papers and, you know, his marriage license. It was bigger than that. It was something that changed the course of Avram's life. It's the rebirth of Avram Avinu by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who would become the father of a nation. Okay. Now we say, Umatsasas levavo neman lefanacha. What's that referring to? That he found his heart faithful. Where do we see Avram was faithful to Hashem? What events? Okay, so Yitzchak, or all of the tests, all of the tests, right? After Hashem chose Avram, he had yet to make the bris from which he would build from him the Jewish people, which is the ultimate purpose of creation, like we said. It would only be after the 10 tests that we saw that the heart of Avram was bound to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that he wanted to be so close to Hashem. And then Hashem made a bris with him. It was an amazing statement in Yerushalmi Maseches Brachos. This is at the end of the Mashur. Look at this Yerushalmi. Avram Avinu Asa Yetzer Hara Tov. Avram Avinu was so great that he turned his Yetzer Hara Tov. He didn't have a Yetzer Hara. He totally conquered his Yetzer Hara, that his Yetzer Hara became Tov as well. It's like he had two Yetzer HaTovs. That's how dominant Avram was. We find this by nobody else in Jewish history, by the way. Tichsiv, umatsasa es levavo ne'aman lefanecha. You all know, I think you've learned this before, b'chol levavcha tu vezin, teach us what? To serve Hashem with your Yetzer Haran Yetzer HaTov. So the same two vezin appear here as well. Umatsasa es levavo ne'aman lefanecha. Amar Rabbi Acha, v'hivsid, maybe he lost out on that he had no Yetzer Hara, el v'charosim mohabris. He made the covenant with Avram after Avram became this total tzaddik with no Yetzirah. He was in total dominance over everything inside of his heart. The Meshech Chachma in Parshas Zos HaBracha writes this. He says that Avram reached a point where he had no sfeikos in Amunah. He had no questions. Everything to Avram Avinu was 100% clear. Hashem was righteous in all his ways. He did not question anything. Not a problem. Everything was totally clear in his Amunah. Not 1 ounce of suffix. Now that's not normal for most people, but that's the level that Avram reached in his closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? Are you ready for now the mistake that's in all your Siddurim?
Yeah.
Okay. In most Siddurim, I assume that all the Siddurim you're looking at right now, even in Sfard, if you're an art scroll, if you have an art scroll Siddur, I think it's more prominent. If you have a current Siddur, it's less prominent. The paragraph ends abruptly mid-pasuk at the word lefanecha. What?
I thought you can't do that.
Where?
You can't do that, right? Where? Do you see that there's a marker by umatsas levon neman lefanecha? Yeah. And there's a marker there?
Yeah. I have a comment.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. So we have two issues over here. Well, the biggest issue is this. There's a hyphen or a comma after lefanecha indicating that the next line, the first in the new paragraph, is actually a continuation of the pasuk. Meaning, umatsasavon malfanecha is not the end of the pasuk. Umatsasavon malfanecha v'charosim ma'abris is actually the pasuk.
So why doesn't
that's a good question. What's going on over here? Why do all the Siddurim say, umatsasavon neman lefanecha? Pause. That's wrong. The pasuk is umatsasavon lefanecha v'charosim ma'abris. It's one long pasuk. So what's going on over here? Right? Cohen and art school, right? We're on both, everyone's the same here. So let's explain where this mistake comes from. The Magen Avraham, the same Magen Avraham we quoted at the beginning about standing, cites a long-standing minhag. The minhag was, certainly in his time, in the 1600s in Poland, is that when a bris milah was scheduled after shachris in shul, the moel would begin reciting the charosimo habris, because it's about a bris. And they would recite responsively and sometimes even sing alternating psukim with the tzibur until the end of Az Yashir. Davening took a long time that day. Right? They would alternate the psukim, sing them back and forth, because the words begin v'charosim ha'bris, and we're going to have a bris milah today. That's a problem. So they would indicate that this is the place where the moel, if he's going to be singing, starts singing the psukim out loud. V'charosim ha'bris. The problem is this. The Gemara says in multiple places, kol psuka delo paske Moshe anan lo paskinan. Any pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu did not break up, we're not allowed to make a break at that point. You always have to say complete pasuk. You're never allowed to stop in the middle of a pasuk. You can't cut the pasuk in half. Okay? So the Magen Avraham says, well, if that's the case, why is this allowed? Especially now, for women who are davening on their own, you just probably just continue, I would imagine. Do you stop there? No, you just... What? It's all one paragraph, right?
Yeah.
But it is a problem for men. Stop. You stop. Okay, well, we're going to have to stop that. Can I borrow the center, please?
Yeah, it's just in the tune. Why is it different for boys?
I'll tell you why it's different. It's not different for boys. It's when you daven with a minion. Because when you daven with a minion, the chazan says this. The chazan says out loud, Ato Hashem Elokim Hashem Bechar Tzvi Avram. No, the chazan leads Pesukei Zimra. They stops after the end of each paragraph. And he takes a deep breath, and he starts v'charosim ha'bris. He's making an obvious break, which is 100% against the Gemara. No, nobody knows that. This is not a known thing. Okay? And he said, he doesn't understand why. Now, most shuls nowadays don't sing this part, even when there's a bris milah. But almost all shuls do have the chazan pause in the middle of that pasuk, which is a big problem. So the Magen Avraham suggests a novel approach regarding the shira. There's no issue of kol psuka because it was originally said that way by Yamsuf, and he has a whole explanation about why it's not a problem. Rosh Shlomo Kluger, who was one of the great Hungarian Rabbanim, Polish-Hungarian Rabbanim in the 1800s. So he writes in the Sefer Chachma Shlomo on the Shulchan Aruch, he differentiates between psukim in the Torah and nach. What does the Gemara say? Kol psuka delo paske Moshe. Any pasuk that wasn't divided by Moshe Rabbeinu, you can't divide differently. But that doesn't mean nach. Nach wasn't written by Moshe Rabbeinu. So Rosh Shlomo Kluger says, where is our pasuk from? It's from Nehemiah. That's not Torah. That's ksuvim. So says Rosh Shlomo Kluger, I don't care. You can do whatever you want, divide whatever you want, it doesn't make a difference. But that's also, it's not the most geschmack answer. Lemaisa, it's a big question. Really, if I was writing the Siddur, if I was printing my own Siddur from scratch, which I'm not, so I would simply have no breaks there, and the chazan should just end at the end of the paragraph, the proper paragraph in Nehemiah. That's really what should happen. But if you're davening to yourself, don't pause there. Say the whole complete paragraph in Nehemiah in one unit. There's no reason to pause there. It doesn't make any sense, and it might even be wrong. Okay? So that is the that's the mistake in the Siddur. Okay, let's go back to understanding what we're saying. V'charosim ha'bris. The bris here is most likely referring to the bris milah and not to the bris bein ha'basarim, because the bris milah occurred after the change of the name, right? If this paragraph is in historical order, how does it go? It goes v'samta shmo Abraham, right? He changed his name. U'matzas levan lefanecha, the 10 tests, or some of the tests, v'charosim ha'bris. What is the bris that happened after that? The bris milah. At the bris milah of Avram, what was Avram told at his bris milah? He was told the following. V'akimosi es brisi beinu uveinecha, uvein zarecha, making a covenant between me and you and your children, acharecha, l'dorosam bris olam, forever, l'yos l'cha l'elohim, l'zarecha, I'll be for you a God forever, v'nasatzi l'cha l'zarecha acharecha eretz megurecha, I'm giving you the land which you live in, es kol eretz kanan, l'achuzas olam, it will be your portion forever, v'yisi l'hem l'elohim, and I'll be for you a God. We should probably tell our cousins, the Muslims, about this pasuk, no? We should probably let them know that this is what it says in the Bible. So it does belong to us. Look at the Bereishis Rabbah on these psukim. Bereishis Rabbah Mem Tes. He says, Miyad Natal Avram Sakin. When Avram was told to do the bris milah, he took the knife. Vayaochez Ba'orlasa Uvalachtoch. And he held on, ready to perform the bris milah on himself. Vayamisyaresha Zakein. But Avram became nervous because he was old. and he was afraid that maybe this would be dangerous for him. He hesitated. Ma'osa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what did Hashem do? Now, be clear, this is not literal, but the imagery is so beautiful. Shalach Yadov Ba'ochezimo, Hashem sent out his hand, and he held Avram's hand with him together. V'haya Avram Choteich. And Hashem held Avram's hand as he did the bris milah on himself to help him. Again, obviously Hashem does not have hands. And he does not hold anything, to be clear. That would be kfira and apikorsis. We don't believe that. But the imagery is so beautiful that Avram was fearful and Hashem held his hand to allow him to help him to perform the bris milah. Shne'amar. How do I know this, says the Medrash? Because we say in davening, Ata Hashem Elokim Hashebacharta be'Avram, V'charos lo habris einksiv. It doesn't say v'charos lo habris. It doesn't say that Avram did the bris milah. It says v'charos imo. He did the bris milah with him. Melamed she'er kadosh baruch hu ochez bo, that Hashem held Avram's hand and performed the bris milah with Avram Avinu. Let's just finish off the psukim and we'll continue next week. The pasuk seems to repeat itself unnecessarily. U'matzasa sabon aman lefanacha v'charos imo habris. To give him the land of the Canaan, Mchita, Mamori, Prizi, Yevusi, Girgashi. And then it says again, Lasseis Lazaro. Why does it say twice that he gave it to him? Say once that he gave it to him. So the Mitsudos on the Pasuk say, Lasseis Lazaro, Mipnei, Arichas Hadvarim. He says it's a very long Pasuk. Chazoloma Shum Lasseis, Lasseis, Kikain Darach Mekra. Because sometimes you have a very long pasuk, our ADHD kicks in, and we forgot what we were talking about. So the pasuk says again at the end, Lasseis, to remind us, oh, we're talking about that you're going to get the land of Israel. That's what the Mitsudos says. Okay, it's not the most satisfying answer, but that's one way to read the pshat in the pasuk. It could be, though, and this is probably more likely, that there's a repetition because there's two things here. There's the promise of giving the land, but then Bnei Yisrael actually have to acquire the land. They have to conquer the land. I can promise to give you a gift, but until I give it to you, you don't actually have it, right? So there's two nesinas over here. There's two givings. One is the promise to give the land, and the second is laseis lezaro v'takamas tavarecha. It was when we actually took the land and we conquered the land. I just want to end with a beautiful idea from the Avodas Yisrael. Avodas Yisrael is one of the great Hasidic rebbes from the Talmidim of the Talmid of the Magen of Mezrich. I don't think anything was auctioned off today in the Gnazim auction from him. But nevertheless, the only three of you get that joke. But that's fine. So the we'll talk about it afterwards. So let's see. The Avodas Yisrael says as follows: V'charosi mohabris laseisus aris hakaniyah chitiyam rivuziv lavasil gashil laseis lazaro. That's the pasuk we say in davening. L'chora milas laseis sefas yeserhu. It's unnecessary. Vali kafel dekvar ksip laseis bereishit dekra. You already told me you're going to do that. Why say twice in the pasuk laseis? V'yishlomar api perish Rashi. I can explain it to you based on Rashi and Parsis Kisisa. Lama nechzav shem hagirgashi in umos haksuvim sham. Why is the Girgashi, that tribe, mentioned here? The Girgashi never ended up being there. They fled. They folded, and they never ended up fighting the land. But Tirach, there, Girgashi, Panam, Atzmo, Ve'elachlo. Rashi says, Girgashi didn't end up fighting. They fled. We never end up confronting them when we conquered the land of Israel. But no da hadavar, degami Girgashi, tzarech letikun, rakta mestama tikunu yela asid. The idea, he says, is that the seven nations of the land contaminated Eretz Yisrael. And we needed to be Mesaka, we needed to fix spiritually all the contamination they put into the land of Israel. But their tikkun, their rectification of the negative tumah they put in the land, will be fixed by Asad Lava when Mashiach comes. And therefore, the first Laseis is for when Bnei Yisrael conquered, and the second Laseis will be when the final tikkun and rectification of the land of Israel will come, when Mashiach comes in the Ba'asad Lava. Okay, so that is the Pesukim. The Girgashi, we never fought them, so we were never in Masakim, we never fixed their Tumah. But in the future, when Mashiach comes, we'll fix the Tumah that they implanted in Eretz Yisrael. Mm-hmm.